The time has come.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy.
It's over, Anakin! I have the high ground!
The Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire!
So this is how liberty dies.
Execute Order 66.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 4.
A gentleman in Moscow, gentlemen Broncos,
88.
League of Extraordinarily Gentlemen.
Of the GeekCast Live
League
Podcast.
Of Regular Gentlemen.
I am your host, GCR, and with me, as always,
Matthew McConaughey is the gentleman.
Rob Bass.
Hi.
And Cartoon Joe.
Welcome to another week of this.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
That I was wondering when Gentlemen Prefer Blondes was going to show up. It was the one you were missing.
Yeah, I had my order wrong.
You doing good? You sound like maybe you're sleepy.
I'm just fucked. I'm totally fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you guys went ahead last night, so I was surprised to see that. And I wasn't reading any of the text thread today, so I didn't realize it was on until 30 minutes ago. Which is not, that's entirely my own fault.
As soon as the opportunity presented itself to procrastinate, we all pounced.
We all said, excellent. You know what? Let's go to bed early. Let's all get high and go to bed early.
The second I had a chance to turn my like podcast brain off, I shut down. There was no going back. I was not recording last night. It wasn't going
to
happen.
I was ready to make the pivot, but alas.
Well, I was right there on it. And then it was like, how does tomorrow sound? And both the two of you guys were like, well, I can do tomorrow. I was like, I'm fucking good with tomorrow. I'm going to stay right around.
I was in the middle of conquering the old world as some parasitic worm that infected some ogre. So I was having a great time.
Sentence.
I feel like you're not getting enough Dune.
I didn't know you multi-classed bard and tapeworm.
Yeah. Also join me for
probably
my next fan
early
fiction.
Show title. Ballad of the Bard and Tapeworm, or whatever you just said, is definitely show title worthy.
Let me write that down real quick. Ballad of the Bard and Tapeworm. Speaking of tapeworms and parasitic draw. Last month we did a deep dive into Dune, and what listeners we have liked it. They were our most listened to episodes of the year, and so we decided we're going to do that again. And with it being Star Wars month, and with this episode coming out on Star Wars Day, we thought we would talk about the Clone Wars. And I'm going to be very honest with you, Rob and Joe and Nick and listeners. I know very little outside of like the very high bird's eye view of what the Clone Wars are. And so I'm hoping to be educated today. I'm not going to lie about it. Really, I'm really excited to learn.
I think today's going to be a pretty good like glancing shot. At least like looking at some of the overview stuff and discussing it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm excited to dig into this. This is the part of like the era of Clone Wars that I grew up with. Like, you know, my first Star Wars movie in theaters was The Phantom Menace and the prequel trilogy. Sorry. And then
how old were you for that?
Oh God.
Eight? I was somewhere, like, what, 8, 9 years old?
Probably Somewhere in that area. Let's see. When did Phantom Menace drop?
99, right?
99. So I'd have been seven.
Oh, seven. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So like deeply impressionable child me saw Phantom Menace for the first time and like Darth Maul and lightsabers and all of this stuff. And it was definitely like my era of Star Wars. And it's been really cool to see how it's grown and developed and changed quite a bit a couple of times.
Well, I want to, if you could put a pin in the concept of how it's changed over time, because so the first Star Wars movie I saw in theaters was also The Phantom Menace, but until doing some sort of, still doing research for this episode, I guess I didn't realize that the prequel trilogy takes place during the Clone Wars. And I had no idea.
Right. The second movie, I think, is actually called Attack of the Clones.
Right, but I didn't associate
in reference to it
literally until like 3 days ago that it was part, like the Clone Wars were still going on. It'd be like if they made a movie about Gettysburg called Gettysburg, which they have, and not realizing that it was during the
Civil War. Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Don't never fight up the hill, new boys. Never fight up the hill.
And God. And what I think is kind of fascinating about that,
Mesa, the president of the United States.
I hate that a lot. Jesus. Man, that's terrible. Executive powers, please.
Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
And
Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. Sorry, I'm done now. I'm. Dungeon.
So nice, we ran it twice. Move on. Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith are like kind of capstones to the Clone Wars, and you don't really get a whole lot of it even still, like I think in the actual movies. You see the beginning of it and the end of it in the actual movies, and then
I think that's why I never connected
the really two. Not a whole
they
lot
they never there. They don't really reference it, do they?
It's also the movie that I don't want to speak for you guys, but it's the movie I've seen far and away the least of any Star Wars property would be Attack of the Clones. I maybe have seen it once, and I've seen all the others. I mean, I've seen the real ones 100,000 times. I've seen the shitball prequels, you know, probably 10 times, the front and back, the bookends. Never watched Attack of the Clones. Never.
Wow.
It's got one memorable part.
Which one would that be for you?
Where Wookiees fall off of battle copters.
That is pretty. No, that's Revenge of the Sith.
Then he's never seen it.
I would defer to you, but I.
Does Attack of the Clones have the part where he's like, "I don't like sand"?
Yeah, that's that one.
That's the only part of it I really remember.
Geonosis and the gladiator pits and stuff.
That's the one that has
an attempt on Padme hunting Jango. Yeah, sorry.
Hold on.
Hunting Jango.
Which one is the one where Ewan McGregor rides the CGI battle
lizard?
Fucking lizard.
The battle lizard. That's the third one. That's Revenge of the Sith.
Really?
So that's okay, the tail end of the Clone Wars.
Attack of the Clones is not the Order 66 one?
Correct. That's Revenge of the Sith. So that's
I've never even seen Attack of the Clones. Is that the one where they are all in the fucking Coliseum at the end?
Yes.
And
yes.
The Jedi Fight Club?
Yes. And it's Jedi Fight Club. That's exactly right. I would agree is probably worth seeing like once just to like do the completionist run. And like, I don't know, I've seen it dozens and dozens of times, but I watch Star Wars more than I probably should. So exactly. So
most people then,
I defer to you.
Most people then the it's first
one that
time
I would watch the least though.
The first time that they've heard about the Clone Wars, I'm gonna guess most all people.
Wait. Sorry, Ryan. Real quick. Which is the one where Nick Fury dies like a bitch?
That is also Revenge of the Sith.
God, what happens in Attack of the Clones?
Angsty Anakin hates sand. Yeah, and the Battle of Geonosis.
Okay. Those are the big ones. There's also the introduction of the clone army. which is kind one. Of cool. I do love all of the things with Kamino and shit, but we can get into that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the combat ostrich, or is that?
Yes, those are the like the tall ostrich looking scientist people on the sea.
Right. World. Okay. Okay.
On Waterworld with that sense.
Kamino, the combat Kevin ostrich. Costner.
Yeah. That's a great name for a combat ostrich.
Isn't it great?
Kamino? It is. Yeah. Kamino. Or Kevin Costner. Either or.
I promise you, I'm naming it Kevin Costner.
Fighting Kevin Costner or regular?
Regular.
It's implied.
I'm going to guess then that most people had the same introduction to the Clone Wars. The first time you ever heard about the Clone Wars was when Sir Alec Guinness told Mark Hamill, I fought with your father in the Clone Wars. And then it's never fucking mentioned again, ever.
Ever.
Yes.
Ever. That's the first time I know I heard about the Clone Wars, and I just assumed I'll never know what that means. And then I missed the entire part of my life where I could have watched the animated cartoon show that probably would inform me more. But I'm to understand, Rob, that the animated show is different from the actual stories of canon that is the Clone Wars?
Well, so let's start off by like making a like a definition for the canons.
Okay.
They are kind of clearly defined. So there's what's called legends now, and that's basically everything that happened in the Star Wars universe before Disney bought the property. And then Disney bought the property and did a reset on everything that basically wasn't the
property,
yeah, the movies and shit. And so that's what's referred to as the canon. And so the legend side of stuff were all of the games, books, comics, and other like animated series that had come out prior to Disney taking over. And that's the Clone Wars that I really had grown up with. And I think the outside of the movies, I think the first things that really got me into the comics or into the Clone Wars were some of the Dark Horse comics and Marvel comics that were coming out whenever I was in like middle school and high school. And that was around whenever Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith had already, I think, come out by that point. So it was just filling in these spaces. And the one that I think that probably shaped and informed a lot of my opinions or like perspectives on the Clone Wars was a PlayStation 2 game that came out that was called Star Wars Battlefront and Battlefront 2. And they're fucking fantastic. There are other.
They take place during the Clone Wars?
So they take place during the Clone Wars and they roll over into the Galactic Empire.
I think I played that game and I thought I played at Hoth. I thought I remember flying.
Certainly did at some point. And they had maps from basically everywhere that was worth, you know, mentioning or looking at, you know, Mos Eisley, the Forest Moons of Endor, Yavin 4, all of them.
If I ever have a pet, that's what I'm naming it.
Andor?
Yavin 4.
I thought there's little moons of Endor, which should be kind of
good.
By not talking about what the Clone Wars actually is?
Sure, I think that's probably.
I thought we were building up to it.
That's what I assumed.
Oh,
well, do any of you guys want to take a crack at it? Because I'm sure I could keep talking forever.
I would love to take a shot at what I think the Clone Wars is.
Sure,
I'm not sure I know.
We can fill in the gaps.
I feel like you're gonna kind of Leslie Nope us here. Like no matter what we have, you're just gonna come over the top and like smash us with your knowledge base. And I personally,
that's why I would much rather.
I want to let you guys know, I am okay with it. This is a bucket list fantasy of mine to have the Clone Wars spun to me softly by Chris Stapleton on a podcast. I'm excited about it. I feel real good.
Hell yeah.
The Clone Wars, as far as I know it, and I I know that the stormtroopers are clones, right? And is
not
it,
all of them?
Is it
not quite?
Is it stormtroopers versus the world? Is it, I don't know who the stormtroopers are fighting. That's the thing is I've never understood.
Well, they weren't always fighting. It wasn't just stormtroopers.
Well, this is what I don't know. I don't know anything about the Clone Wars.
So
my knowledge starts and stops with Alec Guinness saying, "I fought with your dad in the Clone Wars."
Did you see Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith?
Yes, I've seen all the prequels.
Okay.
I didn't know they took place during the Clone Wars.
No, that's fair.
It's not okay. So ultimately, what the Clone Wars is part of a long time plan for the Sith, the bad guys in Star Wars, to get their long
sought explaining after. For listeners who may not know what Sith are, not for you.
Yeah. Okay. dark space wizards versus light space wizards. And they both have laser swords. All right.
Less calories.
Good ones.
Oh, I thought you were doing a good job for a casual listener. I didn't want to feel like you were telling Ryan what a Sith was.
Sure.
Yeah. Like okay. No, I know what a Sith
is. but this is new to me, though. So not to interrupt you, but I didn't know that the Sith were behind the Clone Wars. I thought they were just around.
They weren't. I don't think they were entirely behind it. They were. I'll let Rob do it.
No. Actually, I would love to hear, like, what are your thoughts, like, on this? I know what the answers are. I'm interested in getting.
I thought that the cloning technology. I wish I could remember what race and planet came up with it, but
the Kaminoans on Kamino.
Yeah, the Kaminoans.
Yeah. So those the battle ostriches folks that. Yeah. Originally, they were selling them as a concept to the Old Republic or to the government. And then I think the Sith got wind of it, and then they wanted to figure out a way to steal it, take it, and clone Jedi Force folk, potential Sithers. And then eventually both sides had massive amounts of clones, and then they let them fight. Ish, I know there's a lot
no,
more
but I
to it.
Absolutely
that's like kind of what I
it's not totally far head. Off though
it's not terribly far off, and for what it's worth, I would love to see a script or read a book of exactly what you've presented here, because I think that's fantastic.
I love it.
Okay, put together 7,000 words about total
please
bullshit.
Have it on my desk whenever I will have
submit it for that. Proof
So the gist is that the Sith, right, this bad order of space wizards has been for a long time trying to get revenge on the Jedi for basically exterminating their order and sending them into hiding and making them kind of lose their place and like their hegemony in the galactic community. They've been laying the seeds for 1,000 years to try and get this revenge on the Jedi.
So weird.
Yeah. So anyway,
I was
raising
my hand.
Are you raising your hand in an audio medium, Joe?
Yeah, I am.
I'm not paying attention.
I'm half amused by the fact that it did anything. That was weird. Ryan and I switched places on my screen. Sith hegemony. I didn't know about that. Was a thing.
I'm not going to get too far into the history of the
Star Wars. That's fine.
Galaxy,
I just
but yes,
I thought
the hegemony. I think
okay.
I think he helped me do my term paper myself.
Sith hegemony was a guy who used to work for Kirk.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. But they fired him because he was posting too much extremist shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of extremist shit, that leads pretty great into our next point. Exactly, so really, basically, really over the course of many years, the Republic, the center of the galaxy, the governing body for the pan-species galactic community, it has become grossly bloated and kind of stagnant. They're dealing with thousands upon thousands of worlds that are a part of the Republic, trying to deal with logistics, taxes, bureaucracy, all sorts of fuckery. The prequels do a good job, I think, at kind of showing like the late stages of like sort of like a neoliberal democracy, like the stagnant Republic that is on the edge of decline, and everybody is just kind of getting their hands in the pot to get their own personal wealth, power, and fame out of like the late stage of empire. And it's causing all sorts of problems everywhere. Corporations are running rampant. There's no standing army in the Republic. And so there are all sorts of small crises that start cropping up all over the place. It starts leading to this state of affairs that's just continuously becoming more and more untenable. And more of these various bodies in the galaxy are talking about secession. Why would we continue to stay with the Republic whenever we're just lining 2,000 senators' pockets? And
they're big Brian Cox fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish that Brian Cox had a role. I don't know why I called him Crox.
Brian Perox.
All right, here's the thing. I'm pitching his Star Wars character right now. Yes.
Did you just say loose meat Jedi?
I don't know. I've had a 12 to 14 ounces of strong cider.
It's just getting to this place where, setting the stage, things are just getting untenable in the galaxy. People are wanting to secede from the Union. Corporations are pilfering for as much profit as they can. Piracy is on the rise. The cartels, the Hutts, various drug and crime syndicates are getting more and more influence. And it's just putting the galaxy in this like state of like pseudo crisis and turmoil. And ultimately, it's taxes and Phantom Menace that kick everything off the first time. Yes.
So are you telling me that the Clone Wars was all just a proxy war to get Sheev Palpatine into power, so he could become the Empire? Is that all it was?
Yes.
There wasn't that there was this gigantic...
Against whom?
Hold on. So if I get this right, in my head, the Clone Wars has always been like two opposing forces that are battling for power in the universe, right? Sure. And one was good and one was bad. I didn't realize that it was all propped up and set up just by the Sith, just to fucking get themselves.
Baby.
That's all it was. So this whole thing, all of this is just Sheev Palpatine being the guy.
Here's the thing. I unironically believe in my heart of hearts that Sheev Palpatine, name Sheev aside, is one of the best written characters of all time. I think in my heart of hearts, truly, Sheev Palpatine might be my favorite and best written character.
I'm going to set up a war wherein I'll use that war and my power as a regular guy to unite the Senate into giving me ultimate control, therefore allowing myself to be the leader of the entire universe. And be the Sith that runs everything, rather than just
I
part of it,
removing your main obstacle to power,
the Jedi
in theory,
because you know that there's no army and that they're going to have to be the ones that command this army.
Yes.
Therefore,
and
putting
so
him in harm's
now,
way.
Well, and I think that there is like, if we're gonna like dig into it just a little bit, I think that there's a great nugget right there, which is that before the Clone Wars, the Jedi weren't soldiers; they weren't generals. They were like knights or
guidance counselors.
guidance counselors or diplomats, ambassadors. This was coming off of a 1,000-year period where there weren't any Sith. And so this was the time called the High Republic. And I don't want to delve into that too much, but it's basically like the golden age of the Republic. The brights are even brighter, the colors are even more vivid, and the Jedi are even more noble. After 1,000 years of no Sith and like this golden age, the Jedi had fallen into this position of dogma and stagnation, but also they weren't necessarily that involved in the affairs of everyday politics and everyday life. So what Palpatine needed to do was get them involved in everyday affairs in life and get them very much into a position where they were viewed as combatants, active combatants. And by putting them in a position where they had to lead a war effort, he was able to use all sorts of propaganda to look at the Jedi heroes, look at them on the battlefield doing this, that, and the other thing. And then the propaganda campaign that ensued over the course of the Clone Wars, there's probably all sorts of papers that I could probably write about that, because I think that there's also great shit there.
Would it have mattered who won?
No.
Would the end have been the same for Palpatine?
I think that the ending would have been the same for Palpatine, barring like a few potential scenario changes. But so Palpatine, his persona in the Republic was that of Senator Palpatine, the senator from Naboo, whose planet was unjustly invaded by the Tread Federation and blockaded, and there was assassination attempts on his planet's queen, this, that, and the other thing, and was able to use that to roll his way into a position in the Galactic Senate. Yes, Ryan.
Was the Trade Federation the other side of the war? Was it the Trade Federation against the clone troopers?
So, yes.
Did this motherfucker get his own planet invaded as a way to...
Oh, hell yeah,
himself,
Ryan.
I thought he was the Machiavellian
motherfucker.
I thought he was just like, right place, right time, motherfuckers. They invited my place, and now I can exploit it. I didn't know he planned his own planet's invasion.
Oh yeah, no, it's this all going. Also it's all turning up Sheev, baby.
It's all turning up Sheev.
Things are coming up, Milhouse.
Everything's coming up Sheev.
The Trade Federation is what becomes part of a larger group later on called the Confederacy of Independent Systems, or the CIS. Is this Legends or both? The Confederacy.
I didn't remember them calling it that in the show. But
yeah, they normally shorthand it in basically everything to just the Separatists, because most of the things that we see are normally from Republic and Jedi perspectives.
Yep.
The stories that you do get from any of the Separatist characters, they usually refer to it as the Confederacy or the CIS.
Nice touch. Gotcha. I didn't notice that before, but I believe it.
History is written by the winners type thing.
Yeah, so it goes.
Yeah, okay.
And so the CIS is made up of a lot of these different Separatist planets, but it's also primarily funded by a handful of groups, including the Trade Federation. I'm going to rattle through a couple of them right now. There's the Intergalactic Banking Clans, the Techno Union. And there's also a couple other like corporate alliances and like commerce guilds. It's both basically like a corporatocracy that's propping up a Separatist movement. Not the Pikes so much. They're operating in the underworld. They don't want to get involved in like the high-minded things. They're selling spice to people.
They just show up a lot.
Just show up everywhere, because you know what? Everybody needs drugs, especially during war.
Dude.
What about the Mandalorians?
So the Mandalorians are actually independent during most of the Clone Wars. And at this point in time, they are being led by a regime that is actually pretty pacifist. And I don't want to necessarily get into too much of that right now, because there's some, I think next week, whenever we go into a little bit more detail about some of the more like digging into a couple of the events, there's one that I think that I'd really like for one of you guys to dig into, or that I might share, involving Mandalore. But they stay out of it for the most part. They're being led by pacifist, and it's not until near the middling or end of the Clone Wars that they start getting re-radicalized, and a lot of shit starts happening in and around Mandalore.
So it's not
with
go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
With the exception of one Mandalorian, who is a bounty hunter named Jango Fett, who is the source of all the clones.
Yes, and depending on who you ask and at what point in time, Jango Fett is or is not a Mandalorian.
Right.
But I definitely...
I choose to say that he is because of the actual show, The Mandalorian, makes Boba Fett canonically Mandalorian.
Well, and so...
And the, since Boba is a clone of Jango...
Yeah, and the lineage that they're actually referencing in that is the lineage that Jango comes from in the old legends, where
Boba is adopted. Clone?
Yep,
Boba's a clone.
He's a true clone. Where so all of the clone troopers.
I thought he was the son of Jango.
Well, all of the clone troopers have an accelerated aging process. Mm-hmm. Boba is one of the only ones who is given a normal aging process, so that he could be raised as Jango's natural son.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, so half right.
Hey, you know what? Might as well.
So
you got to remember, Jar Jar is the key to all
babies.
That's
one more.
Which is just to say, Lucas was out of his goddamn mind on whatever coke he could afford with $1 billion.
Lots of shrooms
for it. Yeah.
I know that we're gonna dive in a little bit more to the Mandalorians in the next episode, but they remained out of it until the end. Was it like a Lannisters move where they just waited to see where the winner was going to be, or was there an actual reason that they joined when they joined and on what side?
So the reason that they actually stayed out of the war for so long is more compelling than I think the reason that they joined the war.
Okay, cool. If you don't want to go into too much detail,
I think that it's single-handedly the efforts of one lady who is a true Mandalorian badass. And I think that I would like to delve into her a little bit more next week. So we'll talk about that some.
So Sheev had a apprentice. Yeah. I guess it was Maul.
A handful.
So there were a handful of them. Yeah.
There was more than one. So it wasn't Darth Maul the whole time. Because like I said, I heard about the Clone Wars and A New Hope. And then I went and saw Phantom Menace in theaters and had no idea that the Clone Wars were going on. So forgive me not knowing that.
So for what it's worth, I think the Phantom Menace, I wouldn't even necessarily consider part of the Clone Wars per se. It's like part of like the handful of inciting incidents, because Attack of the Clones doesn't actually take place for what, like another 10, I guess.
Yeah, it's like 10, it's like a decade
years.
Or so, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
Long enough for Anakin to come of age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. So like there is a significant amount of time that passes between the events of A Phantom Menace and the actual kicking off of the Clone Wars. But it's just one of those things in a long series that leads to the Clone Wars breaking out the way that it does.
Okay.
One of the other things that I think was particularly fascinating is that in the old legends, up until basically until the end of Phantom Menace, Palpatine's old master is still alive. So really? During the course of basically all of the first movie, it's Darth Plagueis.
The Wise?
Have you ever heard the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise? I thought
ironic.
Not. It's not a story the Jedi would tell you.
He was alive during the everything going on in the Phantom Menace. Sheev Palpatine was the apprentice. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. So he was the apprentice. Maul, in theory, was like an assassin that they had trained, but like they, you know, they were. Sidious was putting on the facade that he was the master of the Sith and that I am going to make you a full Sith Lord, da 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 da. But it was sort of look at him, we train him wrong because it is funny. They weren't going to, I don't think the intent by Sidious was to ever actually let him be a successor. Really?
Even though they called him Darth.
That's what I'm saying. Like fuck you. So Sheev Palpatine is a Sith Lord.
Yes.
Well, no, I guess he's not. He's the apprentice of a Sith Lord.
Well, all right. So I think that it gets a little weird.
Am I getting like caught
titles?
Am I getting
like a little too into the titles? Yeah. So there was
two Sith. There was Plagueis the Wise and Sheev Palpatine.
Yes.
There's a rule that there can only be two.
Correct.
Sheev willingly broke that.
Yes, but I also would say that that's not necessarily so big of a taboo as one might think, because the whole, like, the Sith are predatory in their, like, philosophy by nature, and they're always trying to circumvent rules, bend things to their own, like, will and whimsy and what the fuck ever.
So then why weren't there more?
Well, there were, and then there was a lot of infighting, and then one of them did a genocide and made the Jedi think that they wiped them all out, and then started his own lineage of Sith, where there were only two.
That's why I was wondering about that.
Ultimately, there was a coup and take over the galaxy again.
As I understand it, and feel free to jump in, but as I understand it, the Sith philosophy around the rule of two is this idea that if you only had one Sith Lord, then he would have all of the power of the dark side. And so, but you need at least one other so you can pass on your information, all the knowledge and wisdom to the next person, just because there's no guarantee that you'll live forever. And so if you limit it to two, then theoretically those two will have all of the power of the dark side. And eventually the apprentice, the student will overcome the teacher, and the dark side will become that much more powerful in the next generation.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. And so you don't want to spread your power out like the Jedi did, because you want to concentrate it into one or two people if you can.
This is like earth-shattering.
This is starting to delve into some like old Republic stuff, because there were a number of like Sith empires of various kinds in the old Republic. But by the time that we get any of that in the prequels or the original series, it's basically been the Baneite Sith line, the rule of two, for the last 1,000+ years.
So Maul dies, air quotes.
Yeah. Maul dies, air quotes.
And then in that span between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, it's Count Dooku.
It's Count Dooku.
Right, and forget that.
And he's Christopher Lee's character. He becomes the apprentice.
There are a couple of things that I'd like to touch on really quick with Dooku, and then we can move on.
Okay, please.
Some of the reasons that I think that are really interesting for his being chosen and falling. One, he was already for some time having a bunch of problems with the Jedi Council and their continued inaction and just want to sit and philosophize forever on things that made him continually disgruntled. Two, Qui-Gon was the student of Dooku. And whenever Jedi inaction ended up leading to the events of Naboo, and the only reason that Naboo had happened was because Qui-Gon was the only Jedi who was like, nah, I'm going to go, like, something's going on here. We need to figure out what the fuck's going on. Obi-Wan, you're with me. Let's go. They, very indirectly, but he felt like they had a hand and a role in his apprentice's death, which further Dooku. Sorry.
Oh, the Jedi had a role in Qui-Gon's death from Dooku's perspective. Yeah. Okay.
From Dooku's perspective. So it led to him just having these greater problems with the Order, and eventually culminated with him being one of a surprisingly small number of Jedi who have like officially left the Order in its time.
So Sheev saw a situation he could exploit. He used Dooku as just a, he was just a fucking pawn, a way to further this rise to his own power.
And to salt the wound, or lemon juice the salted wound, Dooku was Yoda's apprentice.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
But like, for what it's worth, I think that a lot of Jedi could probably make like a case argument for being like some degree of like Yoda's apprentice, or, you know.
Sure. But he was one of the only apprentices Yoda had taken on directly in a really long time.
Yes. And
Padawans, if you will.
And he was highly regarded as one of like the pinnacles of what a Jedi could be during Dooku's like heyday as a Jedi.
Dooku was a Jedi apprentice. I did not know that.
What was Dooku? Obviously, it's an honorific. What is his real name?
Man, that is a great question. I thought
his name was actually Dooku for some reason.
I believe it is his last name. I don't even know if they.
Oh no, you're right. Dooku is his name. He's Count Dooku, right? But he's Darth what?
Oh, Darth Tyrannus.
Darth Tyrannus.
That's what his title is.
That's yes. what it is. Darth Tyrannus. Right. Man, which, as we all know, means Thunder Lizard.
Come on, Lucas.
As we all know, means soup of the day.
George.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
You know, great namer George Lucas, famed for such pieces as Sleaze Bagano.
Right.
That one.
Gorp Shitto. I feel like there's other ones that are particularly terrible, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. Anyway.
Glub Shitto.
I guess a little bit more on the Dooku thing.
Boggle the Lesser.
So I think that there was also during the time, like contemporary time of like Phantom Menace, maybe even a little bit before that, there was a long grooming period, I think, involving Dooku, because I'm pretty sure that Plagueis even met Dooku a couple of times, like with Sidious around as his apprentice. So like,
really,
I think that was probably in play for quite some time, like even before Phantom Menace, which I think is really cool. Basically I think the what we were getting at here was that all things on the Separatists were eventually going to come up Sheev, and on the Republic side of things, he's also become quite a prominent senator during the course after the Naboo crisis, during the years of more and more tensions rising. He found himself in the right places, saying the right things, and being backed by the right senators to just kind of continue to snowball up towards the chancellorship over a period of basically a decade. I'm trying to think of what
the chancellorship. How did I not? Like, so much of it is so obviously drawn from like the rise of power of Hitler, right? And the fact that Hitler was the chancellor of Germany. I don't know. I've probably made the connection before, but I've forgotten it. But just the idea that she was the chancellor, and then there's sort of this, it's not a Reichstag fire, but it's not a false flag operation that allows Sheev to get the emergency.
I would powers argue from the Senate even and, several false flag, like some of them aren't necessarily false flags, but there are a lot of them that
false
are.
Flags.
Yeah.
Well, the fucking dude just ginned up a universe-wide conflict to exploit. So it's all the Clone Wars, I have come to find out, were just one giant black swan event, as Alex Jones would say.
It was one giant chess game between Sheev and himself.
Between Sheev and Sidious.
Yeah, and you know what? Excellent.
Oh, it's that fucking Pixar short.
Space Nazis plays. I mean, it really, it works.
Yeah,
it's a universal theme.
For all of the shit that I will lovingly give to George Lucas over terrible names and bad dialogue, I think that there is a lot of intentionality in basically every decision choice that he made with Star Wars. I wouldn't necessarily say that all of them were good choices, but I think there was a lot of intentionality with all of them. The Empire is very Nazi-coded, very Empire as a whole coded. Their rebellion is very Viet Cong or insurgent IRA coded. There is, like we were saying, the stagnation in the Reichstag, or the Reichstag fire, but like, you know, building this crisis up to be able to topple the Republic and institute a dictatorship. There's certainly a lot of intentionality, I think, in a lot of these decisions.
Yeah, I've forgotten the word.
If you didn't realize that Han Solo was just George Lucas's plug,
right?
I mean, let's be honest.
God bless him for it.
System-wide putches everywhere. It's wild. Everywhere.
I'm going to be very honest with you. I did not know any. I did not know that Sheev was behind any of it. I thought that he definitely, if you'd asked me and I've said that he used it to his advantage.
Sure.
I would not. I had no idea that he was kind of the guy who just started it.
He's a great
to use for his advantage.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, he did have some shoulders on which he stood. The Sith that came before him were not standing idly around during that, you know, 1,000 years of hiding. They were basically laying the groundwork for exactly this. By the time that
he got the
position that he did, the Sith had accrued a ton of knowledge, regained a lot of what was, or not a lot, but at least a fragment of what was lost during the 1,000 years of Jedi just fucking going around and purging Sith things everywhere, amassing political contacts, underworld contacts, accruing wealth and resources, running corporations by day and basically playing dark wizard by night, all in the effort to build to this long con, which is fuck the Jedi, the galaxy is ours.
And suddenly makes that awful, no good, horrible, terrible moment at the end of Rise of Skywalker, where he's in the stadium of Sith ghosts asking for them to bestow their power on Rey or whatever, relevant, right? Because he in so many ways is the culmination of 1,000 years of Sith machination.
And to a certain degree, I think that that is absolutely true. And from another perspective, another point of view, there are a number of Sith and like old legends from like the far future, and there have been a number of them who have had some choice thoughts on how Palpatine overreached and ultimately got himself killed like 2 or 3 times, and then the Empire didn't last,
which was another part of building the clone army, right? Is you put all this money into creating clones so that you can do the research to figure out how to extend your own life by force body switching or whatever.
It was certainly one of the angles for it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The other one was shotgunning out an army that would be able to manufacture a galactic wide crisis.
An army, by the way, that's going to age fast enough that by the time you're ready to overthrow it, it's too old to fight back.
Exactly. And I don't know, but knowing Palpatine, that was part of the calculus. I don't know how a part of the calculus that was per se, but I'm sure that it was.
Yeah, well, I think by the time of Order 66, they had stopped manufacturing clones. Or for the most
pretty,
part.
Pretty
I mean,
close. There, it might not have been until the major, there was definitely a slowing down in terms of production rates by that point.
The major purchasing by the Republic was slowing down because the Republic was falling.
Yes. And so now that we've got to Order 66, I feel like, here's the thing. I don't know how long we want to go on this. I feel like we could make an entire podcast series
just about Order 66.
Probably about Order 66, but at least the Clone Wars for sure.
Well, I mean, they made 8 seasons and some spinoff seasons, spinoff series, really.
That's and again, like, even with just that, there's enough that we could talk about, and that's not even getting into some of the extra canon, the old games, the old books, the Republic Commando games. There are some great books. There's one that kicks off a series, I think it's a Republic Commando series, it's called 000, that talks about the invading force and one of the invasions of Coruscant, and the CIS trying to pull Palpatine out and all sorts of stuff. It's great. One of the other things that it happens to talk about in this book is a number of the other orders that existed in old canon.
I would assume there was at least 65 other ones.
So there were at least 65 other ones. I believe that there were probably at least 100 of them. There are a handful that get brought up. So 66. All right. In
150 canon, general orders.
Are we going to have break and have an Order 66 next week as an entire
I wanted to probably hit on this and then wrap up because I didn't want to necessarily get into Order 66. I think that we've seen Revenge of the Sith and we get the idea. Jedi die at the end. Spoilers.
The one Star Wars movie I haven't seen other than the Christmas special.
Well, something happens. Yeah. There is a kind of a divergence in terms of the clone's role in legends and in canon. So in current canon, there is an inhibitor chip, a bioorganic chip that was basically planted in them somewhere during their gestation period, that once certain cues are given, they're put into like a hypnotic state and it just overrides their brain and they do the thing. In the legends, that was not the case. I think that there were inhibitor chips that directly overrode them. But I don't think that there was ever an assumption that any of these other orders were going to be called, because in the old legends, the clones were very much in on what was getting ready to happen. They knew that Order 6 was coming, Order 66 was coming, and they did not like the way that the Jedi had treated them during the war. They did not like feeling like just disposable meat shields for things. Ultimately, they were ready for the Jedi's reign to be over whenever the end of the war happened. If I can find them, I'd love to send you guys a couple of clips from the old Battlefront 2 game, because they have some like commentary from some of the clone troopers during those days, during Order 66. And it talks about them from their perspective, going in on the last mission with their Jedi general, knowing that they're getting ready to gun that son of a bitch down. And it is very fascinating. The last thing that I want to touch on, it is very awesome. And it's something that I would love to try and find some stuff to share your guys' way. The last thing that I'd like, Nick, you're ready to get out of here. I think I'm ready to get out of here. I'd like for you to do me a favor and read one thing that I'm going to put in the Zoom chat here.
Zoom chat. I got to go to that.
Okay. Yeah, please. I beg of you. So this is one of the orders that came from the Legends canon. Order 66 was slipped in plain sight with a number of other orders that were listed out that the Jedi had full access to, along with other high-ranking military personnel in the chancellorship. So the fact that Order 66 was in there, just kind of staring them in the face the whole time, was very fun, I think. But Order 65 here is what I would like you to read for me, Nick.
Well, put me in character. What voice or character am I using?
Oh, God. Give me your best Sheev.
Old Sheev? Like...
Yeah. In the event.
Okay. Let me get it. Let me find it here. In the event. You know, that's like a fucking broke.
I'll allow it. No. Go.
In the event. A majority in the Senate declaring the Supreme Commander, the Chancellor, to be unfit to issue orders. Or to the Security Council declaring him or her to be unfit to issue orders. And an authenticated order being received by the GAR. Commanders shall be authorized to detain the Supreme Commander. With lethal force, if necessary, and command of the GAR shall fall to the acting chancellor until a successor is appointed or alternative authority identified as outlined in Section 6.
So,
it's really good.
Just to clarify really quick, solid. What that says basically is that there was an order out there that the Grand Army of the Republic had authorization to potentially arrest Sheev Palpatine if, like, for some reason somebody declared Order 65. That's ultimately what that order is saying. There was an order in there where, like, the clone troopers just, their brain switched and they decided to go arrest the president today.
So the Jedi had access to this. Mace Windu.
Oh, yeah, there was a complete list.
Mace Windu could have just said, activate Order 65. And the stormtroopers would have walked into that room with him and Kit Fisto, and maybe they'd still be around.
I think at that point in time, no,
Carl had another handle.
Hadn't happened yet. So yeah, I think that like there could have been an argument to be made that like he could have said we need to invoke Order 65 to like whatever clone troopers were garrisoned at the Jedi Temple, and then take them to the Senate building. I think that there would have also been like. Had that happened, the optics of a Jedi general with arresting two other Jedi generals busting into the Senate building to arrest the Chancellor with like a battalion of troops at his back.
Real Jan 6 energy.
Yeah. Optics, not good. So like, I think that had that happened, that would have also just been like another, like, look at all of the ways that Sheev has checkmate. It's not fair.
If you put 65, if you initiate Order 65, he would then say, like, the Jedi are too powerful. They think they can just arrest me.
Yeah, like, they just walked in and arrested.
You guys don't like that, do you, people? People don't like you? Wow. He's a stud.
Yeah.
I have great respect for him. You said, you said one thing on this podcast before we wrap it up. That I really need you to think about because I want it to be a thing. Dark Wizard by Night is such a fun board game that I want to play.
Hell yes. I'm absolutely here for it.
Dark Wizard by Night. I think it's like a teenage boy. He's coming into his own. Motherfucker's a dark wizard.
I think there's some legs there.
Well,
that was my glancing shot. There was a lot that we missed. There was a lot more that we could have covered, but we would have been here forever.
I think I have a better understanding of what it is. I can't wait till episode 2 of this deep dive. I know we're going to talk about some specific battles that happened during the Clone Wars, some specific players during the Clone Wars. And I'm glad I have a better understanding as to what it actually is. Before we did that.
Yeah, that was solid.
And if any of our listeners or you guys are interested in checking out anything more involving the Clone Wars, some great places that I would recommend starting would be the Republic Commando novels that were written by, I should know that off the top of my head. There was also a Republic Commando video game. Republic Commando novels. Karen Travis, yeah, those are incredible pieces, and I highly recommend them. And then, while they're probably incredibly dated this day, the old PlayStation 2 Battlefront 2, I would highly recommend. If you didn't want to try and source an archaic PlayStation or download some ancient game on your PS5, then I'm sure that you can find clips of everything on YouTube for free. And also check out any of the old Dark Horse comic run from the Clone Wars. I highly recommend them.
Awesome.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody. Come back.
Stay tuned for next week.
Episode 2.
Peace.
Good night.
Hey, everybody. As always, we want to take a minute at the end of this monstrosity to thank all of those amazing people that do help make this thing run. We can't do it without you. We do it for you, as a matter of fact. We've got Dwag Riflux. We've got, of course, World Star. We've got Lada Bartova, Danger Johnson, Big Time Timmy Jim, Soghaven Kapitsky, I think the third. That's right. David Dave Jeep Duck of the Mississippi Jeep Ducks, Big Wad, Hardy Doug the Handyman, Channing Tatum, new this year, Flat Stanley, Zip Plorg, the K Man, Three Finger Emily, she's Four Finger Emily this year, which is nice to see. And anybody that I'm forgetting or left out, write in. We'll tag you later. We love you and thanks.
Suddenly silence.